So remember, we mentioned yesterday the Mishnah that told us that if one of the members of the Zimun is eating Demai, this was the opening Mishnah in the Perek, so it says you can nonetheless form a Zimun together with him. However, if he's eating Tevel, which is absolutely awesome in our Torah to eat, then you cannot form Zimun with him. And you remember we saw yesterday in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah that when you eat something which is asa to eat, then you do not make a brocha rishoina, neither do you make a zimun. And as Rashi explained, this is what the Mishnah Berurah quoted, because it's considered a bizayin. You're thanking Hashem for the food that he gave you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted you to eat this food. That's the rule when it comes to out and out macholos asuris. So the big question was, what do we do in the case of demai? Demai, albeit it's only asa midrabbanan, but it is asa. It's definitely asa to eat. And if it's asa to eat, why are we allowed to form zimun with somebody who ate demai? That's the Gemara's question. Good morning, Reb Nachum. Mute. Yeah, that's supposed to be.
I don't always trust the things going on around me, so I think mute is safer.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Have a look at the Gemara. Ochal demai, says the Gemara. Ho loy chozi lei? Question mark. But it's not fitting. It's not appropriate. It's not considered food which is halachically acceptable. And if you're not allowed to eat this demai, so why on earth are you allowed to form a zimun with somebody who's eaten a demai? Let's have a look at Rashi again. We saw this yesterday. Therefore, the whole zimun comes about through an aveira, and that's inappropriate. The ksiv, we have a pasuk in Tehillim, boitzea beirech nietz Hashem. Sometimes a brocha is not a kavod or a praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the contrary, it's considered a bezoyin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omar mar, and the Gemara tells us above a kama, the hari shegozal saw shelchitim. If somebody stole some wheat, the tochana, he grinds it, the offer, and he bakes it, and makes it into bread, ubirech oleho. So let's not forget, this is now stolen bread, ein zeh mevarech. That's not considered a bracha at all. Elo, to the contrary, it's considered a bizayon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, albeit that particular Gemara was not talking about Zimun, that Gemara was talking about Bracha Rishayna. But says Rashi, it's all the same principle. Whether you're dealing with a Bracha Rishayna, whether you're dealing with the Zimun, it's totally inappropriate in the case of where the food is also to eat. And that, therefore, is the Gemara's question. Demai is also also to eat. So if it's also to eat, why on earth are you busy making a zimun with somebody who ate demai? That's the question. Zot the Gemara, first word on the line, kiven. Kiven, since de I boi mafkir lohu lenichse. In theory, it's a very, very interesting halacha. In theory, if you wanted, at any given moment, you could be mafkir everything you owned. How long does it take to become an oni? The answer is 1 second. You just stand up and you declare, I hereby announce that everything I own is now hefker. So what do I own now? Absolutely nothing. I'm a first class oni. And an oni, says the Gemara, seeing as if he would want, he could in theory be mafki all of his nechasim. V'hava oni, and then he would become an oni. And what's the halacha of a poor person? V'chazile, it is fitting. An oni has a special heter. The Tanan, because it's a Mishnah, ma'achilin eshoaniyim demai. you are allowed to give demai to poor people. Now, remember, we discussed this yesterday. Demai is not an issa min ha-Torah. Were it to be an issa min ha-Torah, then obviously there cannot be any special heter for an oni, unless obviously it's pekuach nefesh. But if it's not, how on earth can you permit it for an oni? If it's aser, it's aser. The answer is, it's only aser midrabanan. Why is it only aser midrabanan? Because there's a roiv. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, demai. What is demai? Chitim halakuchim me'ama'aretz. Wheat that are purchased from an ama'aretz. Safek isron. Safek loy isron. There's a doubt as to whether they have had maestros taken from them or not. So if you are reading that Rashi at face value, what does it sound like? It's a suffix, 50-50, maybe yes, maybe not. But as we'll see in a moment, it's not true. Look back into the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ma'achilin es huaniyim demai, and also ve'es huachsanya demai. You're allowed to give demai both to the poor person and also to the achsanya. What does it mean, the achsanya? Look at Rashi. Achsania, says Rashi, is the chayil shel melech, the soldier of the king, shematil al bnei ha'ir lozunam. It is a chiv on the inhabitants of the town, lozunam. Zunam is, of course, from a word like mozain, to give them food, b'shuvam mimilchamte, when they come back from war. V'hareihem ka'aniyim, and they are like poor people, lefi shehem sheloi b'mkoymon, because they are displaced. They're not at home. They're on active service. Who is the one obligated to feed the achsanya, the soldiers? The answer is the b'nei ho'ir, people in the town. So just like the people in the town are obligated to give tzedakah and take care of the aniyim, so too they have to take care of the chayolim, the soldiers, who are also considered like aniyim. And here we're being taught that the aniyim and these soldiers are allowed to eat demai. How can that be? So look at the next Rashi. It says, Rashi machilim es aniyim demai. The roiv ame ha'aretz ma'asrim heim. It's not really a 50-50 suffix. We said before in Rashi that what? Sofik Isran, Sofik Knots. It sounds like as if it was really a 50-50 Sofik. Says Rashi, actually it's not. Why? Because Roiv Amoratzim, to be perfectly honest, do take maestros. They do take maestros. So if they do take maestros, so what's this whole Issa in the first place then? The answer is, says Rashi, V'chumra d'rabonon ba'al mahu. So it's a chumra midrabonon. If it were to be a real sofik, right? If it would be a genuine sofik, that what? It may well be that actually this food has not, you've not taken maestros from it, and that's not called the chumra d'rabonon. That's a genuine doubt. Says Rashi, it's not a genuine doubt. Why is it not a genuine doubt? Because to be perfectly honest, Roiv Amoratzim do take maestros. Roiv Amoratzim do take maestros. And if Roiv Amoratzim do take maestros, well then, to be perfectly honest, the whole thing is a Chumra Midrabanan. If it's a Chumra Midrabanan, well, then they waived the Chumra Midrabanan in the case of a poor person. So again, Tevel Mamish, obviously, is Asa for a poor person. And even if you have Sofik Tevel, it would also Asa be Asa for a poor person. But Demai is neither a Vadai nor a Sofik. Why not? Because in all honesty, Roiv people do take Maestros. So there's only a 20%, let's say, chance of not having taken maestros. So as far as the Torah is concerned, what would the Torah say about Demai?
Permitted.
It's okay, because you go with the majority. We always follow the Rav. For some reason, whatever reason, Chazal over here decided, no, we've got to be concerned for the mute. But it's a Chumra Midrabanon. It's a Chumra Midrabanon. Well, they can dictate it on their own terms. And they said that in the case of a poor person, one could be Mekel.
Is there not a discussion in the Gemara about the definition of an Amaharitz? And one opinion is people who don't take Trumas and Maisers. That is the definition of an Amaharitz. It doesn't fit this.
It's a person who does a Chashash, doesn't take Trumas and Maisers. A regular person, if I walk into your house, I do not need to ask you, have you taken Trumas and Maisers? Because there's a fair assumption that you have. With the Amaharitz, there is a chashash, there is a concern that he doesn't. He's not so makbid. In the main, al pi ra'iv, he is, but there's a mute chance.
During this time of Shemitah, are we allowed to assume that the average person would be careful about heter makira or heter about otzar based in?
That's a very good question. You have to know to which tzibur he affiliates.
Right.
Because the heter makira has unfortunately become more of a political question than a halachic question. And those who affiliate with a certain type of tzibur will necessarily rely on heter mechira without knowing anything about the halachics in one direction or another. Very, very careful. So yes, if you're talking about somebody who davens in the Gro Shul and affiliates to a kehila of that type, then you can safely assume that they're not going to offer you heter mechira food. I don't want to mention any names of kehilas or rabbonim, but if it'll be a different type of kehila, a Mizrahi kehila, that we know that they do rely on heter mechira, then to the contrary, not only would you have to be concerned, but the chances are, in all likeliness, they are probably reliant on heter mechira. Now, let's come back to tomorrow.
It's ironic because it's that crowd are more Zionistic, and you would think they would never even think of selling Eretz Israel to Arabs.
Well, you're touching on a very, 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 very raw point. Yes, this is a very highly controversial point. And the bottom line is, Rebbe Eliashiv and many other poskim held that nowadays the heter mechira has literally no basis whatsoever for reasons you just pointed out. I was by my Rebbe, Rebbe Nosson Kopschitz, just the other week. Somebody came in to ask him a question about heter mechira and he just burst out laughing. The whole sale is one big joke. It's not comparable in any which way or form to Mechiras Chometz. Of course, everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Well, if people sell Chometz, then surely you can sell Eretz Yisrael. The two are not comparable for reasons you just mentioned. And Mamela, our Tzibur does not rely on Heter Mechira whatsoever. Al Kol Ponim, let's get back to our subject. This piece of Gemara, this line of the Gemara, is very difficult to understand. What does the Gemara say? What was the question? What was the answer? You've got three people, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuven is eating Demai. And the Mishnah said that Shimon and Levi are allowed to join forces with him to create a Zimun. What was the question? How can they do that? You're not allowed to eat Demai. What was the answer? But in theory, I could make myself a poor person. How could you do that? All I've got to do is just stand up and be mafkir all of my nechasim. And if that were to happen, well, then I'd be allowed to eat demai. So what's the obvious question on this Gemara?
He didn't.
Very good. Well put. As we used to say in school, could have, would have, should have, but didn't. What does that mean that I could, in theory, be mafkir all my nechasim and then become a poor person, and then demai would be mutter to me? Fine, very nice, but you didn't. And the person who ate demai was over an issa. And Rashi told us that if you're an over an issa, then to bench and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a covered, is a bizayin. So what on earth does it help to say that, well, in theory, I could have been mafkir my nechasim? Very good, but as you put it, Rabbi Yosef, but he didn't.
Why couldn't you say that the Mishnah is just talking about a very, very rare specific case of where someone did that, he can join Zeman.
No, because I see from the Gemara that wasn't the case. I see from the Gemara doesn't say that we're talking about he was mafke. The Gemara says, kiven di'iba'i mafke, if he would want, but not that he did.
But what would possess him to do that?
Oh, that's the question. Why would he want to do it and he hasn't done it? And what would possess him to do it anyway? The poor fellow. So this is a very, very difficult Gemara. Now, let's just explain how, in theory, you could learn this Gemara. Remember, literally, from day one of when we began learning this Perek, we said that if the Mishnah tells us that three people who eat together are chayev in Zimun, then of course the big question is always going to become, what's the definition of together? What does it mean together? Now, the definition of together has many, many, many different connotations. So, for example, the discussion that we were having earlier on in the week, remember when two people have finished eating and then the third one joins at the end. So that's a discussion. Is that called we ate together? There's going to be a discussion amidst Hashem. What happens if I'm eating at my table and you're eating at a different table? I go to a restaurant and there's two people on the next table. Is that considered eating together? There, the issue is not, did we eat at the same time? We absolutely ate at the same time, but there's no relationship. This was very, very common shayla. I remember when we were in yeshiva, people eating at different times, is that called together? So the definition of together has many, many connotations. But another connotation of together is the sugya that we are learning now. Because if one of the people is eating something which is osa, so then l'chayra, you could put up a discussion and say, that's not called we're eating together. Why not? Because your food is absolutely out of bounds for me. I can't partake in your food. So how can you consider it one joint meal? Not only that, what would be, let's take this argument now to its logical conclusion. You've got Reuven, Shimon, Levi eating together. Okay? Reuven is eating nevela or chazir. Not talking about demai. He's talking about, he's eating absolutely something which is awesome. And there the Mishnah told us, for example, Tevel, that there is no Zimun. Why is there no Zimun? So it's true. Rashi that we just saw said, because it came about through an Avera, and that's considered a Bezoyin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as an alternative to Rashi, we could have learned that actually there's a different explanation. The reason why I cannot join forces with somebody who's eating Nevela or Tevel to make a Zimun is because it's not considered that we're eating together. Now, if you take that to its logical conclusion, what would be if Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are sitting together and Reuven happens to be in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh? So he's allowed to eat Tevel. So now let's ask a big question. Shimon and Levi are not in Pikuach Nefesh, they're perfectly healthy. Reuven is Pikuach Nefesh, is eating Tevel. Is there Zimun or is there no Zimun? So now, would you agree to me that this would depend on these two explanations? If you learn like Rashi, that what? That when you eat something which is osa, then it's a bizoyan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he doesn't want you to eat it. Well, I think we all understand, therefore, in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, it's not a bizayin. Remember, we actually saw this in the Shulchan Aruch yesterday. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if you eat Macholis Asuris, you do not make a bracha, but if it's in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, then you do. And if you remember, the Lashon of Mishnah Berurah is because he's performing a mitzvah. That's not an Avera. The Torah wants him to eat this piece of Nevela. So there's a bracha. So would you agree to me that according to Rashi, if one of the three people are eating Nevela or Tevel because it's Pekuach Nefesh, then there would be Zimun. However, if you learn that the reason why there's no Zimun together with somebody eating macholos asuris because we cannot consider it eating together, because I cannot partake in your food. And I'm afraid to say, even if it happens to be that Reuven is in a situation of pikuach nefesh and he's allowed to eat it, but Shimon and Levi are not. So at the end of the day, Shimon and Levi have no heter whatsoever to partake in Reuven's food. We have no criticism on Reuven whatsoever. Why is Reuven eating it? Because it's pikuach nefesh. So again, if the reason why there's no zimun by macholos asuris is because it's not considered that we're eating together, then the exact same would apply even if one of them happens to be eating macholos asuris in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Now let's come back to our Gemara. One of them is eating demai. So what does the Gemara say? But in theory, I could be mafki mai nechosim and eat demai. The only way for the moment I can begin to understand that Gemara is to say, do you know why eating macholos asuris doesn't allow me to do a zimun? Because it's not eating together. I cannot partake in your food. But if I've got a way of being allowed to partake in your food, how so? By being mafgir all my nechosim, then it is considered together. Because your food is actually not totally out of bounds. So Rabbi Yosef, you asked correctly before, what do you mean you could have, but you didn't? Which is a very good question, but I can at least answer that question that although practically you didn't do this, but by virtue of the fact that you can, it does mean that your food, the demai, is not out of bounds for me. I could make it permissible for me. So if that was the problem, if the reason why you don't make a zimun over macholos asuris is because your food is out of bounds, then I understand what the Gemara means. Demai is not out of bounds. I've got a very, very simple trick to make it permissible. How so? All I need to do is get up on my feet and declare that all my nechosim are hefka. I become an oni, and an oni is allowed to eat demai. So your food is not out of bounds. Yeah, but you didn't do it, but I can make it mutter. So then I think I'll be able to understand the Gemara. However, according to what we saw in Rashi, then I think we're in trouble. Because what did Rashi say? Rashi said the reason why you cannot do a zimun is not because it's not considered eating together, but rather because if somebody was over an Issa, that's not a brocha to Hashem, that's a bizayon to Hashem. So who in the world cares that in theory you could be mafkin achosim? Now Rabbi Yosef's question is a valid question, but you didn't. And if you didn't, you are over an Issa. And if you're over an Issa, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in your brocha. Yeah, but I could in theory have made it mutter. Very nice, but you didn't. So you are over an Issa. So the Gemara L'Chaira is quite difficult to understand according to Rashi.
I mean, again, if you look at this Gemara and the cases that are about to come up, where we try to understand each case of the Mishnah, where it says pshita, pshita. This one doesn't say pshita, but it's saying it's obvious that you cannot. The mission is asking is, why do you have to give me these cases? So why can't you say in each of those cases, whether it's demai, whether it's Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, show me a case where that fits the Mishnah, even though it's a narrow case.
But then the Loshna of the Gemara would have been different. What you're referring to, Rabbi Moshe Zelig, is the next line of the Gemara. When we're going to talk about Maisa Rishon, and the Gemara says, isn't it obvious? And the Gemara says, no, we're actually talking about a very particular scenario. Fine, okay. We all admit that there's no remez to that whatsoever in the Mishnah, but if the Gemara says that's what we're talking about, then that's what we're talking about. But over here, it doesn't say that's what we're talking about. The Gemara would have spelled out, and then I would have accepted it, that, okay, We're talking about a very limited scenario. The Gemara would have said, we're talking about an Oni, period. Why does it have to discuss about being Mafkin Chosim? Why is that relevant? Why can't it simply say, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi happens to be the guy who at Demai was poor. Thank you. How he became poor, totally irrelevant. So I see in the Gemara that we're not designing a scenario in which we're saying that it happens to be we're talking about a particular case in which one of them was poor. No, none of them are poor. They're all fabulously wealthy. But Kiven de'ibai, because if they would want to be mafkin achazim, that's called chazi, that's called fitting. And that's a tremendous chiddush. Like I said, if you would say the whole problem is it's not considered eating together, well, then I understand it is considered eating together because your food is not out of bounds. But if you learn like Rashi that the issa is because you were over an aveira, now it's a bizoyan to make a brocha, so who in the world cares that I could in theory have been mafkin my nechosim? But you didn't. Okay, let's just continue reading another line. Says the Gemara that if somebody is mafkir, is nechosim, it becomes an oni, and halacha is an oni is allowed to eat demai. Who told us? Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, va'omar Rav Huna, this is the conclusion of the sugya, Tana, we learned in a braisa that Beis Shammai Oimrim, that actually, ein machilin esu'aniyim ve'esu'achsaniya demai. Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai holds that actually there's no leniency whatsoever. Somebody, either a poor person or a soldier, is not allowed to eat demai. Fine. So the only way we're going to understand our Mishnah, therefore, is that according to the opinions that disagree with Beis Shammai, and they hold that a poor person is allowed to eat demai, so therefore every person could, in theory, make himself poor. Let's briefly look at the bottom two tosefos on the page. Umachilin esvachsanya demai, says tosefos, Mairi bachsanya Yisrael. We're talking about a Jewish soldier. And if he's a Jewish soldier, then it's incumbent on the Jewish kehillah to support them and to feed them. Umutalin aleihem, it is incumbent on them, lezoinom, to sustain them, to give them food, vehem ka'aniyim, and they are like poor people. And they are like poor people. Says Tosfos, v'dafka d'mai. But this only applies to demai. Avol tevel loy. But obviously there's no heter to give out and out tevel to an oni. De kasofi lohu, because then you are providing them isur misa. Something which is absolutely awesome. In fact, it carries the death penalty. Clearly, there can be no heter for that whatsoever. So it's only a heter for demai. Again, who are we talking about? Jewish aniyim, Jewish soldiers. Ve'inami, says Tosfos, alternatively, it could be that actually we're talking about ba'achsanya shel nochrim. Even if you're telling me we're talking about non-Jewish soldiers. So one second, if it's non-Jewish soldiers, what's that got to do with me? Says Tosfos, shehitil aleihem hamelech, where the melech has forced me to feed them. So this is not an inyan of tzedakah because it's my Jewish brethren, but rather because it's the non-Jewish soldier, and the government has said everybody's got to pay taxes, everybody's got to pay this, you've got to feed the soldiers. No, so am I allowed to give the non-Jewish soldiers tevel? So I would have said, well, of course you are. A guy is allowed to eat tevel. Says Tosfos, no. Mikol mokoim dafka demai. Only demai are you allowed to give them. Avol tevel loy. You're not allowed to give tevel to a goy. Why not? The imkain, because if you do, poireya choivoy, You are paying your debt. Which debt? Your taxation debt. The king has said everybody is mechuyev to chip in to feed the soldiers. How are you paying him? With momoin that actually doesn't belong to you. When you have tevel, besides for the fact that tevel is osa to eat, who owns tevel? When I have a field in my back garden, so I mafrish, so the whole field is tevel. So you're not allowed to eat it. But who actually owns it? Not all of it is owned by me. Not some of it is owned by the kohen. I've got to give it to the kohen, whether I like it or not. So if I take the field and I give it to the soldiers, what am I doing? I'm actually paying a debt of mine with somebody else's money, because some of it doesn't belong to me. Therefore, says Tosfos, even if we were talking about Jewish soldiers, it makes no difference. Even then, I couldn't give them tevel. Demai, you're allowed to give. Because as we said, demai is essentially al pi roiv. You are allowed to consider that maisos have been taken. It's true, chazal will machmir, but it's not the roiv. The mi'ot, it's only the mi'ot. Let's see the last Tosfos. Omar Rav Huna, Tana Beishamay Oimrim Ein Machilim. Rav Huna came into the Beis HaMedrash and told us, Moirai V'Rabois, I want to tell you a very important piece of information, that Beishamay actually holds that you cannot give an Oni or an Achsani a Demai. Now, as we know, we do not paskin like Beishamay. And if we don't paskin like Beishamay, why would an Amoira ever bother himself to tell you what Beis Shammai holds? Totally irrelevant. The Mishnah brings the opinions and then we paskin like Beis Hillel. But why would an Amoira, having long established that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, why would an Amoira ever feel it necessary to teach you the halachas of Beis Shammai? And that's Tosfos' problem over here. So Tosfos, Ve'im Toima, Rav Huna, Tama de Beishamai, also Lashmi, you know, question mark. Is Rav Huna coming to teach you the halachics of Beishamai? The Hochi Parech become a duchtin. This is a question that we ask in many, many places. You see, it's a valid question to ask, why would you teach me Beishamai's teaching if it's not Negei Alalocha? Yesh Loima, says to you, so what you're going to have to say is, you're right. The Kamash Malon, what Rav Huna is trying to teach you is the opposite. He's coming to tell you, De'i mashkachas tana. If ever you find a tana, de omar eimachilim, comma, if ever you bump into a brisa that says you cannot eat demai, even if you're an oni, you should know, beishamaihi. It's very important for me to teach you, says Rav Huna, the author of that brisa will necessarily be Beis Shammai, in which case, v'loy teichosh, therefore you do not need to be concerned, lo'isa mishnah or brisa. Why not? Precisely because the halacha is not like Beis Shammai. So Rav Huna is not coming to teach you the halachas of Beis Shammai as a useful piece of information. Guess what Beis Shammai holds? It's irrelevant. We don't pass that out anyway. What he's coming to tell you is the opposite. But I need to tell you that beware. You might bump into a Mishnah or a Braisa that says an Oni is not allowed to eat Demai. And you'll be very impressed with that Braisa and you might be tempted to think that that's the Halacha. So I'm here to tell you that no, that opinion is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Oh, thank you for pointing that out. Very important piece of information. Because if ever I see a brisa or a mishnah like that, I know immediately that that's not the halacha, because it's Beis Shammai. Had you not told me it's Beis Shammai and I would have read a mishnah like that, what would I have thought? Maybe it's not Beis Shammai, maybe it's a Remeya. No, halacha is like Remeya. But now that you've told me it's Beis Shammai, so you're not telling it to me as an interesting piece of information. Wow, guess what Beis Shammai holds? Rather, you're doing it to protect me. If ever you see a mishnah which says that an oni cannot eat demai, you must know it's Beis Shammai, in which case you are allowed to ignore it. V'loy teichosh, do not be concerned, because it's not halacha l'maisa. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. Mr. Hashem will continue next time. with the Gemara.
Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rav Ram. L'chaim l'shalom. You said you're going tonight, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, l'chaim l'shalom.
Okay, so have a good trip, and everyone should be well and safe.
Amen.
Let's see you, Tova.
Amen.